This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a KMOX Sports exclusive.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Burleson hits it hard through the hole at short into left center field.
Now, live from Dallas and the Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give local, give hope, give goodwill. It's Matt Pauley on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Yeah, for one final night, we are here coming your way from the baseball winter meetings in Dallas. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Thanks you so much for being with us. As always, if you want to get involved in the program, you can call, you can text, you can tweet, you can leave a voice message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Calling, texting, if you tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or if you want to leave a voice message, if you are listening via the Odyssey app, you just click on the little microphone button. You can leave yourself a voicemail message, and we will get that, or voice message, excuse me, and we will get that into our studio. It is the final night. Really, if we're being honest about it, the baseball winter meetings are over. There is still some media stuff going on in terms of some national TV networks and things like that are still live. But you would think it is a different lobby that we are sitting in right now if you go from now to where things were at 24 hours ago. Much earlier today, I saw most of the Cardinals contingent making their way out of Dallas. So things are essentially done. The Rule 5 draft did take place earlier today. That was the final kind of, like, there were some meetings that took place after the Rule 5 draft, but in terms of things that are somewhat public-facing, that was the final thing that took place. Rule 5 draft, not overly impactful for the Cardinals. They did not choose to select anybody. They would have had to use their final spot on the 40-man roster to do that. Did not sound like they were overly excited about not having a lot of flexibility, and that's what happens when you've got a Rule 5 guy on your roster. You're not able to move them off of the roster. So as of yesterday, thought it was a 50-50 shot. Maybe I even misevaluated that a little bit. Maybe it was less than that. But either way, they don't make it. The Cardinals do lose a player in the Major League phase of the Rule 5 draft as Connor Thomas. He was selected by the Milwaukee Brewers, so that means the Cardinals are likely to see him. He has to stay on the Brewers roster here moving forward. So I was reading some of the things out of Milwaukee. They seem to be excited about Thomas, and now he is headed to Milwaukee, where he's going to get an opportunity to be on their 40-man roster and be on their active roster as well, the 26-man active roster as well there in Milwaukee. So here's what's coming up on the program. First off, Bernie Miklas is going to join us in less than 10 minutes. Later on this hour, we're very happy to be able to welcome onto the show a St. Louisan, a guy that you see on MLB Network. Greg Amsinger is going to join us. I think we got him once for Countdown to Opening Day. Maybe here at the winter meetings a couple years ago in San Diego, if I remember correctly. But I don't think we've, since I have been hosting Sports Open Line, I do not believe that we have had Greg on the show. So Greg Amsinger is going to join us in about 20 minutes at about 6:35. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on at the winter meetings, also on what the Cardinals are doing and what the Cardinals might do from his perspective as well. Next hour, Ricky Horton's going to join us from here in Dallas. And also coming up next hour, our good friend Sam Levitt, who does pre and post for the San Diego Padres. He's going to join us as well. It turns into a very quiet baseball winter meetings for the Cardinals. No moves made. We found out on Monday that they intend to trade. Let me rephrase that. We didn't find out. Previously reported information was confirmed by the Cardinals. That'd be the way to say it. That they intend to trade Nolan Arenado. That had widely been reported, and it was confirmed by John Mozeliak. Mo indicated to us that it was unlikely that a deal would get done for Arenado prior to the winter meetings wrapping up. Winter meetings have wrapped up. Nolan Arenado is still technically a Cardinal. So Mo was correct in saying that. Thought there might be a chance that they would move Steven Matz here at the meetings. Didn't happen. We're continuing to see a lot of money thrown at pitchers. Makes me continue to believe that Eric Fetty is going to be incredibly valuable to other teams if the Cardinals make the decision that they're going to go ahead and move on from him. So that's kind of a rundown of, from a Cardinal standpoint, what has happened. From a big picture perspective, Major League Baseball perspective, there was a notable move today. The Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox for a package of prospects. So that makes the Red Sox better. And, yeah, they go from there. But that's kind of the news of the day as folks are continuing to make their way out here in Dallas. We will take a break, and when we come back, Bernie Miklas is set to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what has happened here at the baseball winter meetings. That's coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line live from Dallas in the baseball winter meetings right here on KMOX. It's a great bar of sports open line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Dallas in the lobby of the Hilton that I can say was hosting the baseball winter meetings as things have essentially wrapped up. Basically, I'm sitting in a wide open lobby with just a few people walking around. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He's our good friend, Bernie Miklas, of course, KMOX contributor, also part of the Gas House gang. Bernie, always good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing even better now that we're connecting again and talking about baseball and all kinds of other things. You've done a great job down there in Dallas, Matt.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed your coverage.
Yep. Awesome. It's been fun. And unfortunately for Cardinals fans, other than all John Mozeliak did was confirm what had previously been reported. So for folks who are paying attention, nothing new has really come out of these winter meetings.
No, but I think yeah, no, you're right. I agree with that. But I do think that Mozeliak provided a lot of clarity because he had the confidence, in effect, to state that, you know, he believed that they would get a deal done. You know, he didn't say it was for sure. He didn't say that everything was set. But he really conveyed a lot of confidence that this trade will happen. The team, we don't know. But they've obviously made enough progress where they have confidence in it. And when you give permission to the agent to start working with some of the teams on Arenado's list, that's really a sign that tells me this is going to happen. So, I think that was the news, if there was, quote, news. I just think it was more of a development, more of an advancement of the story. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, and I would also say this to just add on. I would say it's stronger than you did, Bernie. There, John Mozeliak does not say what he said unless he is essentially 100% sure that he can get the deal done.
Hey, you're right. Hey, Matt, look, can I ask you a question just to
sure.
turn the tables here? Because you're down there and you've been working the lobby all week. Just in terms of a lot of the chatter going on, how would you handicap, if you can, I don't know, are you picking up on something that tells you that one or two destinations could be more likely than the others for Arenado?
Yes, it's a really good question, because if there wouldn't, there was the John Denton report that came out yesterday that listed the six teams, and the Yankees were not on that list. If that report would not have come out, I would be telling you right now that I think there is better than a 50% chance that he ends up with the Yankees. I keep hearing Yankees over and over and over again. I don't know how to kind of, you know, make that all add up, though, Bernie, where good reporting comes out, doesn't have the Yankees on the list, but I keep hearing Yankees. So I'm not quite sure what to do with that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, because I was surprised, first of all, when John Denton published the six teams. What the heck are the Angels doing on there, right? Seriously.
If you're going to lose, at least you can lose and sleep in your own bed, Bernie.
Like, they haven't had a winning season since 2015. They've been in the playoffs one time since 2010. So anyway, and actually the Yankees are a terrific fit for Arenado in a lot of ways. And if he's willing to go to the Mets, why wouldn't he be willing to go to the Yankees? And I did, you know me, Mr. Numbers, I looked it up. And right-handed Yankee hitters in the new ballpark, which opened in 2009, right-handed batters who play for the Yankees, in other words, they're comfortable, they know the park, they know what they have to do to get the ball out and all that stuff. They got a .442 slugging percentage playing in that park. I think Yankee Stadium, even though it's easier to hit for power to right field than left, I think Yankee Stadium could help rejuvenate his power. I really do.
Yeah. I'm also hearing, and I want to be, I'm not a newsbreaker by any stretch of the mind. You hear something here, you hear something there. I'm getting the sense that the Yankees are not really in on Alex Bregman right now, and I'm getting the sense that they are in on Christian Walker. And if that plays out that way, Bernie, that just adds to the fit for Nolan Arenado.
No doubt about it. And here's the other thing. When they lost Soto, like I read the New York Post because of their baseball coverage, and I know a lot of the New York guys, and I was texting with a couple of them. The one thing that they did, I'm talking about Brian Cashman, when they lost Soto, their offense will not be as grandiose as it was, obviously. So they pivoted to run prevention. It's all about run prevention now, and that's why they gave all that money to Max Fried. They got some other moves up their sleeve. And Nolan Arenado playing third base for you would improve your defense dramatically, and it would also fit into the desire for better run prevention for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, it fits for so many reasons. I also thought it was interesting that a preferred destination would be the Boston Red Sox. Before all this went down, Bernie, I didn't think the Red Sox would be a spot that Nolan would be jumping to go to.
Well, he's got his friend Trevor Story there. Maybe that's a factor. I don't know. I think he also senses that, you know, the ownership is an ultra aggressive move, so they're going to be trying to do things. Heck, they got Garrett, what's his name, Crochet, whatever you say,
Crochet. Yeah.
Sorry about that. You know, they traded four of their top 14 prospects to land him. That's a signal that they're serious about winning. And if you look at that left side of the infield, because Trevor Story is finally healthy, you get the left side of the infield with those two guys, and that's another thing. The Red Sox are big time determined to clean up their defense, which was awful last year. So all of a sudden, you know, you have a really terrific left side of the infield. I think Arenado would enjoy hitting in Fenway Park because it's hard to explain. I think Arenado sees it at a place where he probably could get a ton of doubles, you know, and doubles are really good, even if they're not homers.
Yeah, doubles. I got to get extra base hits, and I agree with that. I do think there is a development that has happened for the Cardinals here that is not being talked about because we don't actually know about it. But everybody with the Cardinals are here. I spent some time talking with Heim Bloom. I got to meet Rob Serfolio. He was a really impressive person to be able to spend some time talking with. That group spent a lot of time, Bernie, talking to people that they wanted to bring into the organization, and I got the sense in one of my conversations today that they were able to wrap up a good number of hires, and I think we're going to at some point in the very near future get another set of announcements on some different positions within player development, and it's going to be more impressive people coming into the organization.
I'm with you, and like 3 points to add to yours, and I'll go quick. How impressive are these guys? Heim Bloom, you know, bring it. He hires Cerfolio, which is a home run hire, and then Cerfolio's bringing in other incredible, you know, really. Well, I don't know if it's incredible, but really, really respected and heralded people in terms of baseball instruction and running a minor league system and, you know, doing all the things to give the prospects the best possible chance to be ready for the majors. What I like about it, it shows that, number one, Heim Bloom did his homework and he was prepared to take over this job. Number two, it shows you how well connected Bloom is and Cerfolio is. They're both so well connected within the game. And number three, and I think fans should take note of this, they're attracting some really good baseball people to come to the Cardinals organization. That tells me that Bloom and Cerfolio hold a lot of respect and admiration within the game. And that really matters, because you're not going to get the best and the brightest to come work for the Cardinals unless they believed in Bloom and Cerfolio.
It's interesting you say that, Bernie, because I'm at our booth here. We've got a big banner that says Cardinals Radio Network, and it's got the Cardinals logo. I can't tell you over the last 3 days how many agents, other people who work inside of baseball, unprompted, walked up to the table to tell me just how much they think of Heim Bloom. It happened over and over and over again. It felt like the entire baseball world just wanted to congratulate all parties involved that Heim Bloom was on with the Cardinals.
That's a great nugget of info, man. I love hearing that. And in my experience talking to just a couple of people that I know that are in executive level positions with other teams, texting with them, the feeling that I got talking to them is that around baseball circles, you know, the people that run baseball operations or involved in a high level job, they all believe that Heim Bloom got a totally raw deal in Boston because they think he's really smart. They think he's an honorable guy. They think he's a guy that, you know, you can talk trades with. He's not going to try to hustle you or con you or pull a fast one. They think he's terrific, and they think the Red Sox really, really, really changed the job description and pulled the rug out from under him, and they thought it was terribly unfair. So I like hearing that. I like hearing what you just said. Some Cardinals fans, I understand, you know, until he starts doing the job, you might hold back and there's going to be some reservations, and there might be some Cardinals fans that'll be mad next winter if they don't spend money on free agents. But give the guy a chance, because he's held in high regard around baseball. And I think he's just what the Cardinals need at this point in their transition.
He is Bernie Miklas, of course. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. He did about 40 minutes on Nolan Arenado yesterday as I was sitting back in my hotel room working on some things. It was a really solid listen, and I think you'll enjoy it as well, plus everything that he puts out on a daily basis. And Bernie, of course, before we let you go, we got to hear about the folks who allow us to bring you on the radio here.
I would love to. You know, today, very cold and windy in St. Louis, and I once again grateful for Saliga Heating and Cooling. This proud independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer has been taking care of the Miklas and our home, the family in our home, for about 16 years, and we are grateful for them, because whenever we have a problem, if there's a mini emergency, whether there's just something that has to be dealt with or checked out, we love knowing we can call Saliga Heating and Cooling, and help will be on the way. And it'll be honest help. It'll be highly professional and knowledgeable, and you can trust them and count on them. And that's a very comforting thing to have when you're trying to decide who to call for heating and cooling. And of course, they have that American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment. So in the winter, our heat works great because we're in this maintenance program called the Priority Club. So before the cold weather, Saliga comes out and makes sure that everything's working properly. They do a little maintenance work on, we have like, you know, steam radiators. They do a little maintenance work because these things are ancient, but they have them as new and as good as ever. And of course, they work with us on our cooling system before the summer. All they do is check the equipment. They make sure everything's good. And that gives you peace of mind, and it can save you some money in the long run. So check out that Priority Club. And also, there are financing options available subject to credit approval for anything regarding Saliga Heating and Cooling. For all the information on services that they have, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. You'll get the phone number there. It's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you, Matt.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from the winter meetings in Dallas. Things starting to wrap up. And a guy who you know, you see him all the time on MLB Network. He is a St. Louisan. He is Greg Amsinger. He joins us right now. Greg, great to see you. How are you?
Matt, good to see you. First time I actually get to hang out with you on the air. So
yes.
Looking forward to this.
You're a guy who's from St. Louis, and you don't hide that on the air. How much pride do you take in where you come from and being able to share that with everybody?
You know, I think I'm well-suited for the job I have at MLB Network. Live look-ins of all 30 games, paying attention to the game for a living. Because I fell in love with baseball watching the St. Louis Cardinals. And look, you need to be professional in this business when you're on national television. I don't want all Cub fans to hate me. But during commercial breaks, I let my friends know I am cheering for the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't think there's an issue with that. I fell in love with baseball, and that passion resonates when you see me on TV. And I fell in love with baseball because of the Cardinals. So it's a weird offseason to see them trading away future Hall of Famers potentially, but I do not shy away from letting people know that my allegiance is with St. Louis.
This winter meeting's a little bit more active than last year. It started with the Soto deal. There's been a few other things, the Garrett Crochet deal earlier today.
Yeah.
It seems like things are happening a little bit more this year.
Juan Soto is a generational talent.
Yeah.
So for Sunday night and have him get kicked off with that monumental historic contract, to me, I just knew that everyone else was in a terrific spot to start letting the dominoes fall. It was a bit slower than I expected. I thought Juan Soto going on Sunday night, the first night of these winter meetings, would kickstart just chaos, and we would see many more players signing and trades. It's probably a little bit below the tempo that I expected. I really was surprised to see Juan Soto go Sunday night. I thought it'd be a Monday thing, but to have him off the board with a contract that no one expected, not one person said, I think he's going to get $765 million. I didn't hear one person say that. So for him to get that and to see all the other players sign, a lot of pitchers off the board, the trade of Crochet is a big one. I don't think the Boston Red Sox are done either. I think he immediately makes them better than the Baltimore Orioles in that division. So there's just a lot to sink your teeth into in the winter meetings. It's always fun to talk about the business of baseball.
Is there bigger implications with the fact that a Soto, a once-in-a-generation type player, can get that kind of money, or the fact that middling players like a Frankie Montas, a Matthew Boyd, a Luis Severino, that these guys are getting bigger money than we expected?
Well, it's refreshing to see teams like the Athletics spend a historic amount of money on a starting pitcher, over $60 million for Luis Severino to be the ace for 3 years of a team that looks like they're ready for bear with those position players that they have. Their lineup's going to score a lot of runs. So to see a team like the Athletics get involved to spend money is loads of fun. To watch the Guardians shake up their roster and send Jimenez to the Toronto Blue Jays, watching the Blue Jays beg players with contracts of $700 or more million dollars to come to Canada and play shows that there is a desire to win. And when you look around the landscape of baseball, if we as an industry thought that the Los Angeles Dodgers are this bulletproof championship dynasty, would you see all of this activity?
Mm-mm.
I don't think you would. I think all of these clubs want a piece of the action, and they think they're a couple moves away from being the best team in Major League Baseball. So that's exciting.
Cardinals are in this weird phase where they got Chaim Bloom redoing the player development system. Salaries, payroll is going to go down this year. From a long-term perspective, are you all in or are you a little bit out on what the Cardinals are doing?
I'm all in. Look, I fell in love with the Cardinals in the 1980s. Yes, they traded Gary Templeton for Ozzie Smith, but all those other guys were homegrown. Like, you watch them come up from the minor leagues. This was the original approach of Cardinal baseball, right? And what you're looking at is an organization that has a bunch of young players that for the last 3 years have been playing like my analogy has always been the Cardinals have an in-season AAU basketball tryout.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be the case. The thing that breeds consistency in this sport is commitment And the Cardinals have just not been committing to their young players because there is a sense of urgency to win right now. You got players in the books who make a lot of money. At one point it was Yachty, and you brought back Albert. You have Waino, you have Arenado, you have Goldie. You got to win right now. You can't commit. You can't let Jordan Walker go in a two-week-long slump. Now we can. Like, let Victor Scott play 150 games. I want to see what he can do. I want to let Jordan Walker play. I don't care if it's 198. I want to see what he does for 155 games. Ivan Herrera behind the plate. I love watching that kid play. I want to see him play every day. Mason Wynn, you know he's going to play every day. I want to see Nolan Gorman play third base. He plays every day. What is Lars Nootbaar? Is he a leadoff guy? Is he a slug guy? Is he a left field version of Andy Van Slyke? Let's find that out this year. The commitment to the young players to really see the canvas that Chaim Bloom is painting on is the goal of the 2025 season. And as I say that, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals won the division. Because think about this for a second. When you're going into opening day 2024 and you got, you know, a record contract for a manager, and that skipper leaves Milwaukee to go to Chicago and Craig Counsell. You trade your ace in Corbin Burns before spring training. Your all-star closer has a broken back. He's not going to come back till after the all-star game. Your second-best pitcher, Brandon Woodruff, out with a shoulder injury. You're thinking, the Brewers, they're going through the transitional stage, right? They're going to relaunch. Brand-new manager, has no big league experience as a manager. He was an interim for a little bit, but this is his first full season. No one expected them to win the division, let alone easily win the division. The Brewers easily won the NL Central Division. So if you look man for man, I will tip my cap. I don't think there's a player the Cardinals have that is as talented as Jackson Chourio. I think he is a mini version of Acuna. That's how special he is. But pound for pound, player for player, the Cardinals have more depth of talent than the Milwaukee Brewers. I know the Reds are coming. I love the moves they're making. They're going to be forced to share. I think that. The pitching in Pittsburgh is awesome. I think it's the best in the division. And the Cubs are probably going to do something here. If they trade for Kyle Tucker, they try to go big. You never know what Chet Hoyer is going to do, and he's feeling the pressure. All that said, I think the Cardinals have a chance to win the division, and that would just blow the minds of all of the fans in Cardinal Nation.
Well, I agree with you, and especially when you think about Arenado and Goldschmidt had down years this past year offensively. If Walker and Gorman are able to take steps forward, and that's this whole thing is really keyed in on Walker and Gorman, and then you get a healthy Nootbaar maybe, you get Contreras over at first base, 150 games because he's able to stay in there. There's a bunch of ifs here. I get that. There's question marks. But if those things happen, the offense is much better than it was last year.
And let's consider what a roster looks like, not just by subtracting players, right? Arenado probably going to get traded. Eric Fetty probably going to get traded. Sonny Gray probably going to get traded. Ryan Helsley probably going to get traded. I think Wilson Contreras probably gets traded at some point this year. You think of it as a roster subtraction, but we're never considering the players you're getting back in return. So we're talking about a core group of players that you could roll out in opening day and you think could be competitive. But you're going to add even more young talent to that roster by trading all of these players. So, I think it's a movement. I think Ollie Marmol was the perfect guy for this movement. He got placed into a position of win-now mode, and then they got even older by bringing back Albert Pujols for that unbelievable season that was so fun to watch. But it was veteran-laden for a very young manager like Ollie Marmol. But this is it's very reminiscent of Brian Cashman when he could finally conduct his farm system the way he always wanted to conduct it. He likes to scout, draft, develop young players, but he was the New York Yankees with huge purse strings and they wanted to win every year, so he had to spend big money on the, you know, Hideki Matsui and the Jason Giambis and the Johnny Damons. He had to do that stuff. But this is how he wants to operate. To me now, I think this is the team Ollie Marmol has always wanted to manage, and it's exciting to have a guy in the dugout that wants to connect with young players and get the most out of them, and I think he's going to do that well this year.
Wrap up with this. You were at KMOX. Give me a story. Give me a KMOX memory that you think of.
Oh, my goodness. So many. Randy Carrick was obviously a huge mentor of mine, and to produce a show for him was just epic. But I'll never forget, I'm producer of Sports on a Sunday with the great Ron Jacober.
Just elected into the Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame this week.
It should have happened earlier. Yeah. It should have happened earlier. And the great Ron Jacober's like, hey, you want to come in here and you want to talk high school football? You do some play-by-play. Play, don't you? High school football. I'm like, yeah, I'll come in the studio and do that. So I sit down and I talk high school football St. Louis High School football with Ron Jacobert. I was on the airwaves of Cam Wex for the very first time. I was 20 years old, a junior at Lindenwood University at the time. And when I tell you, my relatives thought that I made it. Because in St. Louis, everyone's listening to Cam Wex. So when they heard me on with Ron Jacobert, Sports on a Sunday, man, I didn't think there was any higher level than that. So that was my favorite Cam Wex memory that I can share, because man, I did get to produce live from Shannon's, and that stuff was wild, bro. That was a wild good time. But yeah, KMOX puts a smile on my face every time I think about it.
One of the things I love about you, Greg, is you love baseball, and I feel like you want to help other people love baseball. And I think that comes out when we see you on TV. And as someone who loves baseball as well, thank you for that.
I really appreciate you saying that. I want to make baseball as cool as possible. And you'll never see me read a script. I have no teleprompter on there. I'm hanging out with the boys. And if you ever wonder what it would look like to have a drink with Greg Amsinger and watch a game, I want MLB Network to look like that every time you see me on TV. So that's always the goal, and I appreciate those kind words.
Yeah, I think that you have accomplished it. Thanks for the time.
You're awesome. Thank you.
That's Greg Amsinger. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. We continue to come your way from the baseball winter meetings in Dallas coming up in our set. By the way, this has been a really cool 6 o'clock hour weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas. Fantastic, as always. And then to be able to get Greg Amsinger from MLB Network, a very proud St. Louisan. I think he does St. Louis right on his when he talks about it on MLB Network. Great to be able to talk with Greg for a few minutes as well. And hopefully he won't be a stranger here to Sports Open Line. We'll try to get him on occasion here moving forward. Next hour, we are going to hear from Ricky Horton. We're going to talk with Ricky about something a little bit different. In addition to him being here at the winter meetings to help with broadcast stuff and radio stuff, he was also here with Cardinals alumni. And we're going to speak with him about what that was like and just another side aspect of the baseball winter meetings. And Sam Levitt, who does pre-post on San Diego Padres radio, he is a friend of the program. He's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk a little bit about Mike Schilt and talk about the Padres and whether or not that's a fit for Nolan Arenado. We'll do all that coming up. Before we get out of here for the hour, no way to transition to this, and it is sad news, unfortunately, that we have to report. It just came out on social media a few moments ago that an absolute legend of St. Louis sports has passed away. Pat McBride died this morning, 2-time All-American national champion playing soccer at SLU. Played for the U.S. national team. He passed away at the age of 81. 5 appearances with the U.S. soccer men's national team. Really captained the U.S. squad in several of his appearances with the team. Went on and was just a beacon of soccer in the St. Louis area. Coached at St. Louis Community College, coached St. Louis Steamers, just did a lot of things. So based off what's being reported right now, very unexpected, passing away at the age of 81 years old. So Pat McBride, St. Louis soccer legend, has passed away. Unfortunately, we have to share that news with you here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are into our final hour of the program, originating from Dallas and the baseball winter meetings. The winter meetings have essentially wrapped up. There is still a little bit more media work that is going on. MLB Network continues to be live. We can see them down way far to our right. The YES Network, which is the Yankees Network in New York, appears that they're still going live. But basically everything is done, and people have been leaving Dallas throughout the day. Started to see members of the Cardinals contingent leave early on, and then once the Rule 5 draft wrapped up this afternoon, that was essentially it for the front-facing events that were going on here at the baseball winter meetings. Rule 5 draft was kind of a nothing burger for the Cardinals today. They picked up some players and lost some players in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft, but what they when it comes to the major league phase, they did not select anybody. They did lose one player. Connor Thomas was selected by the Milwaukee Brewers, so he is going to have to be on the Brewers' active roster, or he has to be offered back to the Cardinals. And generally, if the Brewers are going to select a pitcher like that, they feel pretty good about it, and we'll see what they're able to do with Thomas. Obviously, the track record of the Brewers in developing pitching and everything, pretty good. So for Thomas, that might turn into a blessing and a real benefit to him that he goes to that organization. Just reading some of the quotes that have come out of Milwaukee after that selection, people seem to be pretty happy about that selection. Still coming up this hour, Ricky Horton's going to join us in just a few moments. We'll talk through Cardinals alumni stuff with him, his responsibilities here at the winter meetings. In addition to working with us from a radio standpoint, he also did some alumni stuff, so we'll talk with him. And then Sam Levitt, the Padres pre- and post-game radio host, he is going to join us as well. We'll talk about the Padres and Mike Schilt and maybe Nolan Arenado to San Diego. Could that be a thing? If it was a thing, he's probably not playing third base anymore, so we'll get into that. Also, just one more time, and we'll continue to follow this story as we go along through the evening, but didn't want to just gloss over it. We talked about it towards the end of last hour, and you heard Maria mention it during the newscast. Really sad news that we learned that St. Louis soccer icon, national soccer Hall of Famer, a former SLU player, a guy who played for the U.S. men's national team, captained the U.S. men's national team, did about everything that you can do in soccer, and was an amazing ambassador for soccer and St. Louis soccer. Pat McBride passed away, 81 years old. It came on very suddenly, according to his family, in a statement that they released. So no real way to talk about these types of things when we're talking about other stuff, but just incredibly, incredibly sad news that somebody that when you think of the all-time greats in St. Louis sports history, you talk Pat McBride, for sure, especially for this community, this city, and what it means to the sport of soccer, and for Pat McBride, just incredibly sad news, and the fact that it was unexpected, just nobody saw this coming. So we'll follow along with this as we go along today, but just want to make sure folks heard about that and know what's going on. No real way to transition, so we'll just go back into it. Baseball today. We were talking with Greg Amsinger last hour, and that was a lot of fun. He thought more stuff might happen at the winter meetings. And last year, nothing happened. Last year, absolutely nothing happened, seemingly. It was so slow, not just for the Cardinals, but for all of Major League Baseball. I thought this one was a little bit busier. And I think it's good when that happens because there's so much focus on what's taking place here. The Crochet deal today where he's going from the White Sox to the Red Sox, that was arguably the biggest thing that happened. But you know, the Max Fried contract with the Yankees, he got $218 million. That's the most that a left-handed pitcher has ever gotten. That's legit money, and I think the Yankees become a really interesting story now because they did not get Juan Soto. So what happens? Fried is probably just part number one of many dominoes that are going to end up falling, and they have that money ready to go for a Juan Soto. Not that they're going to spend all of it, but how do they go about reallocating that money? I think that's a storyline that's going to continue to play out. Nathan Eovaldi goes to the Rangers, 3-year deal, $25 million per year. Essentially, he gets the Sonny Gray contract, and Sonny Gray is better than Nathan Eovaldi, and that just continues to show you that the price of pitching is continuing to go very, very, very much in an upward direction. Clearly, the best thing that happened to the Cardinals over these few days was the fact that they moved up so much in the draft lottery, where they're going to have a top five selection in the amateur entry draft. That was not an expected development. They went in with basically sitting in that number 13 spot, and they were able to move up significantly. So that is a good thing for them. All right, here's what's coming up before we get done in this hour. Ricky Horton will join us next. Sam Levitt will join us after that. And then we'll kind of put the final touches on what we've been doing out here in Dallas for the baseball winter meetings. But we've still got a lot more coming up. You don't want to go anywhere. Our exclusive coverage from baseball's winter meetings. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line from Dallas. And we're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX. Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we continue to come your way from Dallas, Texas in the baseball winter meetings. Bluntly, winter meetings are they've pretty much wrapped up. The Rule 5 draft happened earlier today, and that was kind of the final official thing. So people have been floating around. There's been a deal or two that has been announced or reported on as the day has gone along. More and more folks you've seen with their suitcases. They've made their way out of the Hilton here in Dallas, and winter meetings are pretty much done for the year. Our first countdown to opening day show is going to be coming your way tomorrow night here on KMOX, and of course across the entire Cardinals radio network. That's going to be coming up on Thursday evenings. For the most part, there's going to be a time here, a time there where we're going to push it back to Friday here on KMOX due to other programming obligations on a Thursday night. But generally speaking, here until the start of the season, you can put it on your calendar. You've got Countdown to Opening Day with Mike Claiborne and myself coming your way on Thursday night. So we've been here at the winter meetings, and you've heard a little bit from Claibs over the last couple days, and also from Ricky Horton. Got the chance to talk with Ricky earlier today. Wanted to discuss with him something that he was part of. So he was here, obviously, to do radio stuff, but what also brought him to the winter meetings, his first time ever attending, was that he came on behalf of Cardinals alumni. And the Cardinals alumni group, if it's not the best in baseball, it is one of the best for baseball, or maybe tied for best in baseball. Pretty incredible, all the different activities that go on involving alumni. You've got fantasy camp. You've got Cardinal Caravan. You've got winter warm-up. You've got Budweiser bashes that happen during the year. I feel like there's more stuff that I haven't even mentioned. I mean, it is incredible what goes on with the alumni, and it's very, very cool to have the engaged alumni with the Alumni Association. So something that's really special. Got the chance to talk with Ricky about the event that he was part of, as all the different alumni folks did come together just to kind of throw ideas off each other. There were different presentations and things like that. So as I talked to Ricky earlier today, I did ask him about the alumni meeting, very long alumni meeting. It was a full day thing yesterday. What it was like for him being part of that.
Yeah, it was actually wonderful to be a part of a very long meeting with every alumni representative for every team in baseball, and they all gave a presentation about what they do to keep alumni engaged in the organization. And that's everything from fantasy camps to winter warm-up type things to alumni events, weekends and things, and Hall of Fame. And it was just really a best practices kind of thing. But it was good for me to sit in on that. And we actually had a panel of five former players. I got to be on that, where they asked us, how can we serve alumni better, and what are we doing that you like? And I just think it was it's very helpful. It's kind of thing that can happen at a place like this, the winter meetings, where you can get people who are like-minded together and sharpen each other a bit.
It's a pretty special group of alumni for the Cardinals who are very involved.
Yeah, and I think that kind of came through in these meetings, is the fact that the Cardinals do a lot, and they haven't just started doing a lot. It's interesting, there are some teams, and it's it's just the way it is, there's some teams that are building what we're talking about. I mean, they have one person that's kind of doing seven jobs, and one of them is alumni communication. They don't have a fantasy camp. They don't have, a Hall of Fame thing set up the way we do. But so, the Cardinals got a head start on that, I would say, and they've been dedicated to it. And, I think it's important. We have another very positive thing. We have, 58 former Cardinals that live in the greater St. Louis area, and some organizations don't have that many alumni nearby. So if they're going to do an alumni event, they're flying them in. They're, you know, it's just more complicated. So, and, you know, certainly we have alumni that we want to fly in as often as possible, guys like David Eckstein, Ray Lankford. But the point is, you know, we've got a little bit of an advantage there. But the advantage came from St. Louis just being a good place to raise your family after your career.
It should be noted the Cardinals allocate resources. There's multiple people who are connected to alumni. A lot of teams have a random salesperson that does alumni stuff or a random PR person that does alumni stuff.
Yeah, unless you've got somebody dedicated to it. And, of course, there's resources involved in that, too. I mean, you got to have a budget and you got to have, you know, I mean, you got to fly guys in. You got to find connections. Now, you know, it's one of the things that was talked about quite a bit is how you kind of tie in alumni presence at the ballpark with, you know, corporate help and, with, you know, make it kind of have some return on investment in terms of players being there and helping out maybe a corporate thing that gives the player some incentive to be at the ballpark too. But, you know, really what it came down to me was the importance of two main things for me personally since I got out of playing. And one of them is the caravan. The caravan has been a great source of connection and inspiration for me as an alumni, but also fantasy camp. Those two things are real connectors, and it's one thing if it's transactional, and it's another thing if it's connecting, and the Cardinals do a good job of actually both.
Was there anything specific that another team did that you took note of?
Well, yeah, actually the Atlanta Braves are way down the road with things too. The Atlanta Braves, in fact, a former teammate of mine, Greg McMichael, runs their alumni department as a former player, and he's awesome. He's terrific. Been doing it a long time. Good friends with Joe Pfeiffer, Larry State, who do it with the Cardinals. But they're making more connection in grassroots, youth leagues, and tournaments and all that to brand the Cardinals at the baseball level in the community. And I think that's maybe a down-the-road thing for us.
Last thing for you, just this is your first experience at the Baseball Winter Meetings. Sum it up for me what you thought.
Yeah, I think it is what I thought it would be. I mean, it's just a lot of people and a lot of things going on at the same time. And, you know, when you first get to this, or when I first got to it, I'm looking over my shoulder to the left, to the right, to the left. I'm trying to kind of make my way. But I think you recognize that it's the cadence of a really big industry that's, you know, connecting on multiple levels. And I would think very enjoyable to be here. And I understand it's not the way it used to be, not as many trades and all that stuff at winter meetings, but I think still valuable.
Ricky, thanks for the time.
You bet, Matt.
That's Ricky Jordan, of course, part of the Cardinal Radio Network, and he has been with us here in Dallas over the last few days, and glad to be able to spend some time with him. Glad for him. I always got the sense from Ricky that he wanted to kind of experience the winter meeting, so got the chance to do it sort of in a dual role, doing the alumni stuff that he just talked about, and also being able to be here and do radio stuff with Klaibs and myself. So it was good. There's a little bit, like, I'm not trying to just, like, pat myself on the back or pat ourselves on the back would be the better way to say it. But certainly there is some pride that goes along with the fact that KMOX/Cardinals Radio Network, the only broadcast outlet from the St. Louis market to be here at the winter meetings. A lot of print folks made their way in. The Post-Dispatch and MLB.com and The Athletic and the Belleville News Democrat with various writers were all represented here in Dallas. And the group of folks that cover the Cardinals is as good as they come. But just the fact that there is still a commitment to being here from a broadcast standpoint for both KMOX and Cardinals Radio Network. I think it's important. Do want to say thank you to the folks at Goodwill, as they're a big part of us being able to be here. Goodwill, give local, give hope, give Goodwill. Without them, we probably would not be here, so we appreciate that, and hopefully you've been able to enjoy all of our coverage. We're not done yet, though. We've still got a fair amount of time left here on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Here's what we've got coming up next. Our good friend Sam Levitt is going to join us. He does pre-post for the San Diego Padres. He's up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX as we are here on our final day at the baseball winter meetings, and somebody that we always like being able to talk to before we get out of here is Sam Levitt, pre-post fill-in play-by-play guy. I can say that now, which is really cool, for the San Diego Padres, part of the Odyssey family there in San Diego, and a guy with some St. Louis ties as well. Sam, always great to see you.
Matt, great to see you. Always a lot of fun here at the winter meetings. Great to see all the familiar faces, whether it be you or Mike Claiborne, who I had the chance to talk with a little bit earlier today. Great to see the people from St. Louis, and always a fun few days.
It was a cool moment. I don't know if my listeners care about this, but they're going to hear about it nonetheless. It was a really cool thing yesterday because you and I, when we were in minor league baseball at different times, had the same general manager, you in one spot and me in another. And we're both part of Major League Broadcast now, and we were in minor leagues. And just the three yesterday, when the three of us were kind of standing and talking for a few moments, I just like got a – that's what the winter meetings for me is all about. Like, I loved that moment for all – because I walked up and you went, how do you know Tony? And right. You didn't realize it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's what it's all about. It's really cool to connect with people here and check in with people and catch up with people that – I've worked with along different stops of my baseball journey, and you the same. So it's part of the fun of the winter meetings, obviously, the transactions, the rumors, and we've got a lot going on the last couple of days here as far as transactions and rumors. The stove is hot, as they say. That's all great, but I do think just catching up with everybody, getting everybody in one location, seeing somebody like Tony Enser, who is my GM in Amarillo, and your GM before that, it's really cool, and it just makes you really appreciate the relationships you build throughout baseball, you build throughout this business, and it really is a fun few days in that sense, for sure.
There's a lot of Cardinals fans who have affection and affinity for the Padres because of Mike Schilt, who is still a very popular figure in St. Louis. What has it been like for you getting to know Schilty and working alongside of him?
Mike's been great so far, and he did a terrific job in his first season. They won 93 games. A team that, you know, was up and down in the first half and really stayed the course and found a way to catch fire in the second half. And, in my opinion, they gave the Dodgers about the best shot anybody did during the postseason. So Mike's been great. Everything I heard about him before his first season, he's about the fundamentals. He relates really well to his players. A lot of positive things that I've heard heading into the season, those were certainly true during the course of the season. And personally for him, he was rewarded with a contract extension at the end of the year. So he's been great, did a really, really good job, very personable with the players, with the media, with the front office, and looking forward to what Mike Schilt has in store for year two in San Diego.
The last year for the Padres was kind of interesting because obviously the year before spent a ton of money. Some of those contracts went away, and it looked like, okay, maybe they're going to reduce payroll. Then they jumped right back in, and they added. Like, it's they keep spending money even when it seems like maybe they're not.
Yeah, they're in a pretty unique spot, I think, right now. Obviously, they have invested a lot into the team. They've got a star-laden roster between Manny Machado and Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Dylan Cease and Luis Sorais and Michael King, who had a terrific first year as a full-time starter. And the list really goes on and on. Jackson Merrill, who, was a rookie of the year.
He should have won the rookie of the year.
To me, he should have won, but certainly Skeens was deserving as well. It was a rare year where both guys were really deserving, but he was unbelievable as a 20, 21-year-old in the major leagues. But I bring all that up to say they've built a very, very good core that I think has them set up nicely to compete once again, to maybe win 90-plus games again in 2025, despite them right now having some holes and some needs, like it really every team does. The unique part about them is that the rumblings here at the winter meeting, some of the reporting in the last 24, 48 hours, has been about the payroll. And essentially, the Padres may be trying to actually get down from where their projected number is based on arbitration projections. They may be trying to stay under the first luxury tax threshold, and you pair that with some of their needs, and it starts to, get hard to see how they could improve their team without maybe trading a piece on their major league roster, let's say like a Dylan Cease. There are a lot of rumors about him the last day or so, because that would free up money. You'd get prospects back. And this is how I'll wrap it up. AJ Preller, who did a phenomenal job last year. I thought he should have won Executive of the Year. That's how good of a job he did. He is as creative as they come in baseball, in you know, coming up with really creative ways to make his team better and acquire talent. We see it time and time again with AJ. He's super aggressive. He's very creative. And typically he has a plan. So it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with maybe some pretty significant financial constraints. Not that the Padres' payroll is low. It's a good-sized payroll, you know, upper echelon of Major League Baseball because of the big contracts they've given out last 5-6 years. But right now, for next year, they may have to get creative. So it's going to get interesting to see how they fill the needs. But I do think they're in a pretty good spot from where they're starting heading into this offseason.
Do you see a scenario where Nolan Arenado would fit on the San Diego Padres?
If he wants to play first base, I mean, sure. You know, look, they need a first base DH type to pair on the right side of the infield with the mix of Cronenworth and Arise, who also plays first base and can play second as well. Look, they sort of need that spot. I know the rumblings have been Arenado's willing to play first base. I can't imagine he's going to play third. Padres have a guy named Manny Machado there who who's one of the faces of the team. I don't think Manny's moving. So if he wants to play first and DH some, could see that. Maybe. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, I guess there is a potential fit there, potentially, if he wants to play first base.
That doesn't go along with the narrative of lowering payroll, though, because that's what the Cardinals are trying to do.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's a good point. So, look, you know, again, the payroll speculation has been pretty rampant here at the winter meetings about where they might try to stay under. Could they go over the luxury tax and increase it? I guess anything's possible. But you make a good point that would maybe go against some of the other things we've heard. So we'll see. Just from a baseball standpoint, yeah, you could find a fit for Nolan Arenado.
Sam, always great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, Matt. Great to see you. Keep up the great work on KMOX. I remember listening to KMOX when I was with the Gateway Grizzlies and driving around St. Louis. So always good to be with you, and best of luck with everything coming up this season.
Same to you as well. And you got to do some games this past year, and that was, you know, all of us had worked in the minor leagues. When one of us gets the chance to do that, we're all so happy for each other. So
absolutely.
I remember when I saw that social media post that you were going to get to fill in on Padres games, I can't tell you how excited I was for you. So I'm glad you got the opportunity.
Well, same to you, Matt. I know you've had the chance to do some games as well, and you're right. It's always good to see people who worked in the minor leagues and have worked really hard for those opportunities get them.
That's Sam Levitt. I'm Matt Pauly. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Well, for one final time, we come your way from baseball's winter meetings in Dallas. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, starting to wrap things up. What a fun show today. Great group of guests with Bernie Miklas and Greg Amsinger. And this hour, we got to hear from a couple folks, got to hear about alumni stuff with Ricky Horton, Sam Levitt, one of my favorite people to talk baseball with, joining us just a little while ago. So hopefully you've been able to enjoy that and just enjoy all the coverage. We'll be getting out of here, but we have been collecting interviews and all kinds of other stuff over the last few days. Mike Claiborne and myself and Ricky as well for our inaugural edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow at this time, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. All of that originating from here in Dallas in the Hilton, home of this year's baseball winter meeting. So as we do start to wrap things up, and a couple reminders for you, actually. First off, we do have the Gas House Gang coming your way in just a few moments here on the program. Today, it is myself and Tom Ackerman. So that's going to run from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock tonight. And we go through much of what is going on here at the baseball winter meetings. If you Want to get the Gas House Gang on demand? It is now available in podcast form at all available major podcast platforms. So whether you listen on Apple Podcast or on Odyssey or Spotify, whatever, you can find it. Just do a search for the Gas House Gang, and it's got its own channel now. So that's going to be available for you. That's the first thing to mention. Also, do want to mention once more that us being here in Dallas, a big part of it is the support of Goodwill. Give local, give hope, give Goodwill. So we appreciate them. Just in the final couple minutes here of the program, wanted to take the opportunity to kind of reflect on what happened over these few days. And it was once again, from a Cardinal standpoint, I think it was a quiet winter meetings. But there was a headline that came out of it. The headline was not based off a move, but the headline was something that we officially learned. Maybe not technically learned, but officially learned. And that was the first night on Monday evening when Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak said that it is his intention to trade away Cardinals third baseman Nolan Arenado. So, again, I want to be really clear with this, because I mentioned this yesterday. The reaction to that surprised me a little bit, because that had previously been reported. Nothing actually changed when Mo said that, outside of the fact that a Cardinals official was on the record saying it. The information was already out there. And I know some people choose not to believe reported information, and that's fine. I'm not saying that everybody gets everything right. In fact, there's been a couple things that have been reported since we've been here in Dallas that I think have been not quite 100% spot on. But that reporting was good, and it was coming from multiple people. Specifically, we're hearing it from both Derek Gould and Katie Wu. So it was true. We knew that it was true. And now it was on the record. So where does that take us from here? A move's got to get done sooner than later. John Mozeliak does not make those comments if he is not 100% confident, or at least 99.999, just keep going with those nines for a while, percent chance that he feels like he can get deal done. There would be no reason to say it publicly if you're like, you know what, 50-50, we get this deal done. You have to be incredibly confident that the deal is going to get done. So that's why I think it's going to happen. I just do. And I am convinced that it's going to happen. So I think it's going to happen before Christmas. Maybe I'm wrong on that. That one I'm not 100% on. But this is one of those things that's now just kind of hanging out there. And if you're the Cardinals and you're everybody else involved with it, you want to figure out what it looks like moving forward. You know, when I was talking with Greg Amsinger earlier, he kind of just, you know, flippantly said that he expects the team to trade Ryan Helsley and to trade Eric Fetty and maybe even trade a Wilson Contreras. And I thought that was interesting how that just kind of rolled off the tongue. I'm not convinced of, and I think you mentioned Sonny Gray as well. I think any of those guys could potentially be moved. Even guys like Gray and Contreras, who have indicated to the Cardinals that they want to stick around and they've got no trade protection. If things were to go badly for the Cardinals to start the season, and look, they've had bad starts to the season each of the last 2 years. If they have a bad start to the season, and somebody else in the division has a really good start to their season, I don't close the door on many of those guys being moved. I don't think Ryan Helsley's getting traded anytime soon. I just don't think the market's going to be there for him. You got to sell high on Ryan Helsley. You have to sell really high on Ryan Helsley. And there are too many high-end, high-leverage, many under the category of closers available right now. So you have to get to a market that has a little bit more desperation than it has right now. With Eric Fetty, I think the market might get to desperation sooner than later. When you see so many of these pitchers coming off the board, it's going to be very soon that teams are going to be out there feeling like they didn't do enough to augment their starting rotation, and they're going to circle back with the Cardinals on Fetty, and that's one where if the Cardinals get blown away by a deal, they gotta execute that thing. And not that I don't want Eric Fetty to be a Cardinal, not that I don't think that he could do a nice job as a number two starter. I think the upside of moving him outweighs whatever he's going to give you this year. And that's not me being dismissive of my expectation of Eric Fetty. That's me being very bullish on what I expect the return to be for a Fetty. It's not going to be like the return that the White Sox got for Garrett Crochet. But at the same time, if there's some desperation out there and you've got some teams that have a lot built up into their farm system, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if the deal, if that turned into one of the bigger deals, kind of that it's not the upper echelon type trade that you're going to see. It's not the Garrett Crochet deal, but it's that next level, that next tier of deal connected to prospects. So I don't know when that would end up happening. I thought that the person that was maybe most likely to get moved over the course of these meetings was Steven Matz, and he has not been moved. In many ways, the Cardinals spoke. In many ways, the Cardinals spoke as if one of the existing starting pitchers isn't around anymore. And I was about to say they were speaking like Matz wasn't around, and that's not completely fair. That's not a true way of putting it. But there was a joke when they were doing their media availabilities between Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak on the first day in. There were some, because they do them in like order, like they all of them did like us, the what you'll hear on Countdown to Opening Day, and then MLB Network Radio and MLB Network, and eventually going to more of a scrum with the assembled media. So there was some messaging going on, and at one point somebody asked somebody else, well, you know, ask Ollie or ask Mo about who the fifth starter is going to be, and just that sort of narrative kind of presented this positioning as if they don't know for sure. And right now, they've got a full starting rotation without even Michael McGreevy being a part of it. Right now, you can sit there and you can look at Sonny Gray at the top, and then Eric Fetty and Andre Pallante and Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz, and then you still have Michael McGreevy as somebody who could slot in, and you've got some other guys as well. So in some ways, it feels like they've already moved on from somebody based off the reporting that's been out there. You would think that that person would be Steven Matz. Thought that maybe they would get a deal done for him. The Cardinals contingent is long gone. In fact, I saw some folks leaving. This is the hotel lobby today has been a really busy day of just people getting their luggage and making their way out of here, and it's been happening since this morning. So some folks stuck around for the Rule 5 draft, some didn't. But in many ways, it felt like the meeting sort of wrapped up, not yesterday, but you get what I'm saying. Today was definitely kind of a slow down period when it comes to the meeting. So I don't know. I think a Matz deal probably gets done at some point in the near future. I think a Nolan Arenado deal is likely to occur. But when it actually happens, I don't know. I don't have an answer on that, and we'll just have to wait and see. So I say all that to say this. I pontificate for 10 minutes to say not much happened over the last 3 days. We have confirmation that the Cardinals want to trade Nolan Arenado, and that is the extent of what we know coming out of the winter meetings. And it could be an interesting couple weeks leading into the holidays, and then coming out of the holidays, before you know it, it is going to be a winter warm-up weekend. I said this yesterday. Let me finish this with this real quick. I said this yesterday. I do think the Cardinals are still going to add major league contracts to the roster. I think they got to get the Arenado thing figured out. I think they got to get a couple other things figured out. But as much focus as there's been on young players getting runway, I do think that there's going to be maybe like a major league reliever or something that added at some point in time. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us, not just tonight, but for the course of the entire 3 days that we were out here. Again, countdown to opening day. The inaugural edition for this offseason is going to be coming up tomorrow night. Myself, Mike Claiborne, Ricky Horton, and coming up next, we've got the Gas House Gang, myself, and Tom Ackerman recording that earlier today. So that's all coming up. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line in Dallas at baseball's winter meetings right here on KMOX.